Hey, everybody, and welcome back. This is Amanda Moxley, and I am excited to welcome you to the Speak Your Way Success Summit, where I've selected the best of the best to share with us their top success strategies to speak, to sell, and share your message on stage, video, and live streams to impact millions and make millions. And today, I have Ajit Nawaka. I hope I'm saying that right. Do I have it right?
You got it right.
I got it right. And Ajit is the co-founder of Mind Valley and host of EverCoach and Zentrepreneur. He is known in the industry for helping experts take their business to the next level, as he is also a business coach himself. He is passionate about disrupting industries and creating positive change. Well, welcome, Ajit. I'm so happy you're here.
I'm so excited to be here.
Thank you. And I know you're, you know, super different time zone. You're in India at the moment. So I appreciate you, your time and energy and showing up. So tell us your story, how you got here, founder of EverCoach and Mind Valley and what have you, and all these great things, entrepreneur. Tell us.
Well, it's a long story, but I'll keep it really short. So I was born in a house of 22 people in India, in Jaipur. This is where I am. I'm back home right now. And it's not that my parents didn't have so many kids. It's not that they had 22 kids. But what happened was, in India, there is a concept called a joint family. Basically, you, your parents' family, and your grandparents' family, all of us live together in one big house. And that's how I ended up in a house of 22. And when you live in a house of 22 and you grow up like that, what happens is that you tend to have this insane need for space because there is none. So if you've ever really been in that place where, if you have to like think about it for a second, if you've ever been in that place where you've gotten like, only if I could have some space right now. That was my first 24 years of my life. is just to live like that. So because of that, I had this insane desire and need to really get abundance of space, abundance of wealth as well, because we were not really financially abundant. That kind of shifted me and shaped me in a way where my choices in the earlier part of my career were all driven by how can I have more abundance in life. That got me to take some really bold, brave steps, which usually people don't take at a really early stage. People try to settle into a career. I tried to never settle into a career. I tried to see what is it that I need to do to keep making progress. And if it wouldn't fit in my grand scheme of things, I would just very simply abandon it and move on to the next thing. That led me to experiment with student organizations that will expose me to international travel. It'll expose me to media houses. It'll expose me to a company, at that time, a small little company in Malaysia called Mind Valley. They were just starting out at that time. It's about 8 years ago. It was December 2008. And I decided to quit my very decent job in India, which is to the traditional lines. I was doing really, really well. I was a high-end salesperson for a media house, one of the top media houses in India. I was doing really, really well at a really young age. But then I decided to say, well, this is not fast enough for me. And I decided to switch it all away and throw it all away and go do this internship for like $500 a month in Mind Valley, in a different country I'd never been to before, country I had no idea how it's going to be like, for a minimum wage pretty much for the country. Sure. 8 years later, a lot of experiences later, I quit the company in the middle, started a company, sold it back to the company, did all the shenanigans that you can possibly think about, became this chief technology officer, chief marketing officer, chief executive officer, CEO, everything of the company, only to start several businesses in partnership with the company and outside the company, and to realize that now at this stage that I want to be able to contribute more and more out to the world. Because, you know, when you reach a certain stage in life and you go, okay, I've kind of have it all in some way, you go, what is it that is next? And you realize that life is much beyond and much greater than just what you have. And it's not about you as much as, yes, there's of course a great extent about you for sure, because you got to take care of yourself. But at the same point in time, it's a lot about saying, hey, what else can we do? How else can we play? How can we make the world a better place? How can we connect more with people? How can we contribute to the larger society in one way or another? And that led me to kind of completely step out of my role of supporting Mindvalley, but actually becoming a co-founder of Mindvalley. I got some equity in the company and started doing EverCoach because I really felt that a big community that is not only underserved, but kind of wrongly served currently is the coaches community. It's a new community. It's not regulated. There is no real directions that the community has. And there's a lot of not really coaches trying to show people how to run a coaching business. And I was like, when you have not really done the coaching yourself, it's a little bit obnoxious you trying to tell somebody else to do how to do coaching. So that kind of put me into this place of saying, it was almost like the internet marketing tribe decided that niche was profitable and they moved into it. And then I was like, well, that's an industry that needs to be organized, disrupted, and kind of rethought and reimagined. So I partnered up with Vishen, who is my co-founder at Mindvalley, and we said, let's kind of go and serve this community and build something for this community, because we feel that that's really, really required. And that is where we built EverCoach, and I became the host of it, where I got in the best of the teachers, people who have actually done the work to come in and actually educate people. These were not teachers before. They didn't really have programs. They didn't really believe or had any of that stuff. And we got them to come on board because of our vision. And we said, listen, we understand that you are also jaded by this community that is out there, but if we don't do something about it, they're going to keep underserving this community, and there will always be in the cycle of not being served, not being taken care of. And that kind of put us into this place of creating EverCoach. It's been over 2 years that we've started to focus and really build the whole business out. And yeah, that's just been the journey. And in the process, because I had done so much work with Mindvalley, out of Mindvalley, because even when I was with Mindvalley, I was coaching other companies, I was working with other companies in many different ways, just helping them out, sometimes for financial gain, sometimes for just because I wanted to, because I believed in what they were doing. So it turned out that what I knew kind of was helpful. We put together certain events during the course of the year, and then 2 years we've been able to, now we could currently communicate with over 100,000 people on a daily basis. We have tons of fans, followers. We have great products that we have out there in the market. And we have been able to bring a slight shift in the industry and kind of cause a little bit of a ruckus, which we are happy about, because it's all for the positive.
Beautiful. So tell us what kind of shift and ruckus you've been stirring up in the industry. I like it.
So some of our primary dialogues was that what should win is the product, not the marketing, right? Mm-hmm. What should win is what's the best way of educating someone about something? What's the most detailed way of educating someone about something? What's the most effective way that they can actually execute on? So we design products, and that's why we don't go for what's the flashy name, but we go for people who have actually done the work. And yeah. Sometimes they are the flashy name, sometimes they're not. Right. Sometimes they're completely unknown, and we find them as gems who have worked with people and got them certain type of results. And we say, hey, listen, you're doing this anyways. Can we work with you? Because these are not teachers, these are coaches, especially in our scenario, because we are educating coaches. So it's best to get coaches who have done the work to come on board and kind of serve the space. So we go in and we say, hey, we know you are not really teachers, but we know how to educate people because of my background as an educator. And I go, all right, so let's work on this together. I'll help you structure the program in a way that can be really valuable for the world out there, and they can actually learn and gain from it. And then we realize that, again, the whole obnoxious old school way of thinking of saying, education should be really, really expensive, kind of. We kind of said, why? It's not about if I can put out a $2,000, $5,000 program. Anybody can, but at the same point in time, is that really proportionate to the value that you're bringing out to the world?
Right.
Is that education really proportionate to the value? So we kind of went two ways. Firstly, we started creating superior products. for people, which were problem-based, situation-based, where we said, all right, what's the challenge that a coach faces? And we kind of diagnosed and we wrote down, all right, these are different challenges in different areas of their business that they face. And some of those challenges are the most obvious ones, like nobody really educates coaches on how to coach better. And that's ridiculous. It's like, come on, like that's the primary thing. If your product's not strong, you can't build a business around it. If you're not a good coach, there is no way you're building a business around it. That's our, one of our key products is showing people how to coach better. Like that's people, literally our core product.
Right.
See what?
Because a lot of people, they're not even coaches. They're like, they just say, oh, I can be a coach, and they become a coach, but they don't have a training as a coach.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't really believe in the certifications and everything, because that's, again, it's the people who regulate that is questionable. Who are the people who are regulating that? But at the same point in time, I believe that if you want to be a coach, the first learning of a coach is that the learning never really ends. And right. you cannot possibly work with a client if you are not growing. If your skill set is same as yesterday, when you interact with your client, you're not going to provide a superior service, right? And because you want to constantly learn, the primary dialogue for you, as much as you should, yes, be learning about your business, you should always be learning about yourself. You should always be learning about how you can coach somebody else through a process. So that was our first and probably the most breakthrough product, is where we introduced products which were saying, hey, listen, become a better coach, right? Go deeper within yourself first. Try to figure out who you are. Try to figure out how to really work with a client. Work on different situations. See examples of different situations and figure out how you can navigate that with your clients to really find what is stopping them, what is not, or what is challenging them, what's the pain, to be able to identify in all those different situations and keep moving forward. So that was one of our first few products that we put out in the world, and we said, all right, that's one of the big things that nobody serves as a space, but it's one of the most primary things that you can possibly engage with. But that was our first one of the things that kind of was disruptive. Then we brought in products that were more related to business, was related to marketing, related to sales. And we went in one after the other, seeing what's the right kind of way to do it. So there were a lot of times where, yes, there are ways to position something or produce something or to sell something or to structure something. But we were like, hey, listen, there needs to be more research into it. There needs to be more grounding into it. There needs to be more logic into it. And the people who share it must have got certain level of results, so they know enough about it, right? So that's where we kind of brought in those kind of people. We worked with them and designed products around that. So those were some of the things that we did to kind of totally change how we approach things. We also, because we are an education company and not really like a, it's not that, I mean, coaches want the freedom lifestyle, but at the same point of time, we are not someone who says, hey, let me tell you how to make $1 million overnight. That's right. Not what we do. We are an education company. We show you how to become a better business person, better human being, better coach, better everything. And yes, as a byproduct, you can make millions. Yes, if you choose to. But that's a decision you will make. And if that's what you want, you can do that. Yes, with our products, absolutely. But is that my primary drive to tell you, hey, listen, I'll show you how to make millions? No. I mean, I'm an education company. I want to make sure I give you the best possible education in every area that I provide education in and more. And that's really our intent.
And I love that. And I've watched a lot of your videos and consumed some of your content. And so how do you, so for the person who's watching here is just starting out and they want, like, how do you, I think you said you had 100,000 fans, followers that are, you're engaging with on a daily basis. How did you grow your list? I have an idea, but how would you coach people here listening to build that fan and following and subscribers so they can, you know, be sharing their gifts with everyone, their tribe?
So if I was to give you just some broad strokes, because I can give you specific strategies, but that will take us like a day to just discuss that. Yeah. Because there's a lot that goes into it. But if I was to just give some broad strokes, if that shift can happen in someone's mind today, they will probably have the same results or better, right? One broad stroke that one has to think about is, if you want to be really big, you have to think really big. Now, I know people might go, well, everybody knows that you have to think big. But what happens is, mostly when we are operating as business owners, we think really, really short term. We think about how can I get 100 fans. You see, the strategy to get 100 fans and 100,000 fans is completely different, right? So if you approach a problem to get 100 fans, usually you would come up with a strategy that gets you 100 fans. Actually, you'll end up probably with 80. But if you try to build a strategy that gets you 1 million fans, you'll probably end up with 800,000.
Right?
Because you'll probably not hit the goal. And let's say even if you hit the goal, you'll only hit the goal. You will only go that far. Whereas if you're the place where you want to go to, and to understand that the place you want to go to doesn't need to happen in the next 6 months.
Right.
That's the second thing, is that everybody that I've seen mostly people get into business thinking really, really short term. They think for the next year. And that's blame it on our education system, because that's how gradings are done, right? All our schooling was done. You are evaluated every year. So you did try to see if you are good enough or not every year. And because of that, we try to evaluate our goals every year instead of thinking, hey, listen, when you got into business, how long did you get into business for?
Yeah.
Your lifetime.
For a lifetime, yeah.
Right.
For a lifetime, right? Or at least 5 years.
Yep.
If you are getting into business, it's not a job where you want to quit after a year if you don't like it.
Yep.
If you're getting into business, there's a deeper commitment that you have, which means worst case scenario, you're at least trying it for 3, right? Ideally, that's how your worst case scenario should look like, that at least try for 1,000 days, right? Because without 1,000 days, the first 1,000 days are the biggest struggle. You can't quit before the 1,000 days, because if you do, then I'm sorry, you never validated your idea. You never really gave it enough time, right? So even, and that's like a generalized statement, but you know what I mean. I mean, give it time, right? So most of the businesses don't do that. And so their plans look like what can I achieve in the next 3 months.
Yeah.
And yes, that's a great thing to think about to kind of bring momentum in your body, in your business right now. But if you will react to it and you will try to design your fan page strategy, your growth strategy, your video strategy around that, you will most likely be in a situation where you will quit that in the next 3 months because you won't see enough results. But have you seen that famous graphic where there is a gold digger who's digging and there is one person who has already turned around, there's the other guy who's still digging?
Yep.
That's the guy who gets the gold.
Right.
Because he keeps digging and he keeps trying to see what is it that is beyond this. And they don't quit too early. Persistence and consistency are two of the most underrated things in business.
For sure.
Right? You have to be persistent, but you have to be consistently persistent. Mm-hmm. Right? People go with intensity, they start the business, but then they fizzle out.
Totally.
And that's where they quit. Right? So when we went into the strategy of saying, how do you get 100,000 fans? We didn't go with the strategy of saying, how to get 100,000 fans. We went into the strategy of saying, we'll be the biggest fan page in the coaching industry. That means you want 500,000 fans.
I love it.
I'm at only 100,000. I've only done 20% of where I need to go, right? So there's a lot more to come. And yes, we have never seen a 500,000 people fan page in coaching industry, but I know I will get there because all the coaches would want to be my fans. And it's not me being arrogant. It's me knowing that if I don't come from that place, if my mission's not big enough, if my drive is not big enough, I'm not going to go get that. Now, I'm not saying everybody needs to have that drive, because that would be unfair.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody has their own drives. Everybody has their own motivations. Everybody has their own situation that they want to deal with. And it's absolutely fine, whatever that looks like. Whatever that is, think a little bit bigger than that. Think about what's going to happen in 3 years. Think about what's going to happen in 5 years, and your dialogue with your current business will change. Your frustration with what's not working will completely change. Because we get frustrated because what's not working right now, we feel like that's the statement on us. You start to think that's why it's not going to work out ever. But that's just the grunt that you have to go through, right? So that's the first thing that you, if you can shift, and if you can think about it differently, changes the dialogue or changes the outcome that you have, okay?
I love
it. The second thing that people are unconscious about is everybody tries the gimmicks. Everybody thinks it's about trying the new gimmick or the new tactic. They play the short term in that sense as well. What's converting right now? Let's do what's converting right now. Mm-hmm. What's converting right now never really builds a following. Mm-hmm. What's converting right now only gets the people who want to get an instant hit, right? They are as spontaneous as you are being in your business. they are not the people who are in it for the long game. They're not the people, or even if they are, because you keep changing, because what's working right now, right? Because you change, they go, oh, I was sold to them because, let's say, for example, hypothetically, they like you because you give free trainings to people, right? And that's why they just joined you. They were following you. They loved you because they were like, yeah, great trainings. I want to follow this person. They're so awesome. They're so great. They give so much heart in there. And then you say, you know what? I don't do free trainings anymore. Now I do quizzes.
You're right.
The person who was so sold on this idea, and they were just on the edge of saying, whenever I will be ready, I want to invest with this person. They just said, ah, not interesting anymore.
Yeah.
Right? People change so quickly because they want to go for the next hack. They don't want to think about, what am I building? What's my client's real desire? What is it that my clients see me as? What's the brand call between me? What's the brand bond between me and my clients?
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you would see, there's a tremendous amount of branding that comes with EverCoach.
Yes.
It's not just another coaching website. It doesn't look like one. It doesn't act like one. It doesn't communicate like one. You cannot compare it to anything else in the business. And the reason why you cannot compare it to anything else in the business is because it's not like anything else in the business.
Right.
Right. And it communicates that all the time to our clients. Right. And that's the second thing, that you got to understand that you're bigger than the gimmick that you're playing. Okay. You are a brand. You right. are a personality. People associate you because of that, not because of your latest hack that you come up with.
Mm-hmm. How do people, because a lot of coaches, the website, everything is really similar. A lot of the branding, et cetera. What are some ways people can really stand out as a brand and a brand personality? Coaches.
Firstly, all coaches are different in their personalities. It's like, think about, your personality is different than the next coach that you'll meet.
Yeah.
The reason why they look same is because they're not trying to be their personality.
They're not trying to be their personality, right?
What they're trying to be is, who can I copy?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
If it's more you will, and think about any of the extraordinary coaches, pick one. The one that you can remember, the one you remember from because you saw them and you were like, wow. Yeah. They didn't look like everybody else. And even if they looked like everything else, they felt different.
Right.
And the reason why they felt different is because the website colors could be looking similar, because it's a website still, it's a web page. But the way they wrote the copy was different. The way their video was shot was different. Mm-hmm. The way they communicated was different. The way they told you, if you don't want to listen to me, go away, was different.
Right.
Because it's not only about selecting and getting everybody to come on board, it's a lot about saying, who shouldn't get on board with me?
Yeah.
It's a lot about rejection, saying who I don't want as a client.
Right. That's so good.
Right. And people are so scared of that rejection, is they want to include everyone. And so they become numb. They become the white noise because they're like everybody else. Should a coach do? Just be themselves a little bit more. I know it's a very simplistic answer. And yes, there's a deeper psychology in there. And we can go really, really deep into how to really be yourself.
Yeah.
And what does that really mean? Because that's a 5-hour conversation we are talking about being yourself. On the surface, yes, I'm using a word that may feel like be yourself. Now what?
Right.
Right. But that's the work that I was talking about that the coaches need to do. Exactly. Like, it's being yourself doesn't mean, oh, I am being myself, because that's also dry. You kind of need to know, what are the elements of your personality that are really edgy? What are the elements of your personality that is really profoundly connecting? What are the parts of your personality that people hate, right? And how do you amplify all of these so you can only attract the ones who absolutely love you?
I love it. It's so true. That whole idea of like not wanting to be rejected, wanting to be the peacemaker, wanting, you know, I love it. So we want to get people to not like us and to reject us. And you want to be clear on who you are for and what you're against, or what you're for and what you're against. So juicy. Think big. Don't just do the next hack or gimmick, like literally think big term. Tell me more, because you are a content machine and you've got videos and you're doing books all the time. What are some of your, and I know we're not talking about hacks here, but I want to know, how do you generate, well, I have an idea how you generate content. Probably you have a big team. But what is your strategy for engagement with your leads and really showing up and being of service with your clients and with your group, your fans?
So firstly, I don't have a big team. I have a 4-person team. That's all my team size is.
And there's just one person. Really?
There's only one person who does content. Yes. So anyways, it's people make it more complicated than content needs to be. Like I said, if you really do the work and really understand who you are more tight and biased, who you are does mean just who you are, actually write down what's your good elements, what's your bad elements, what repels people, what attracts people, what do you stand for and what do you stand against? Because that is very, very important in your dialogue, right? Because that's the dialogue you communicate with the world. That's what people remember you for, right? So you got to know all of that. And then coming up with content is as easy as this. What are your values around, say, love? If you're a love coach, even if you're not a love coach, what are your values around love? What do you believe in, right? What do you believe in around business? What do you believe in around presidency if you want to? I mean, that's if you have a political bend of mind and you want to actually talk about politics, or religion. If you have a religious bend of mind and you want to talk about religion, anything that you actually believe in is a piece of content.
Yeah.
It's actually a piece of content. Right? Yep. About it like this. If you want to talk about, like, for example, this training that we are doing, this interview that we are doing, just each of the topics that I said, those are 4 or 5 pieces of content I can individually record 10-minute videos on.
Right.
Right? Because those are concepts I believe in. Now, yep. Does anybody else believe in the same concept? Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Right? But it's my content too. It can be somebody else's content, yes, mm-hmm. but it's my content too. Right? My audience will listen to it differently than they will hear it from somebody else.
Yes.
You could stick with 20 or 30 great ideas or 20 or 30 things that you believe in. If your audience right now writes down the 30 things that they believe in and under, let's say 5 categories, 6 things that you believe about, let's pick, I'm just going to go random on this. So let's hope it works out, right? So let's pick 5 categories, 6 beliefs under each category, right? 1 business, 1 love, 1 relationships, one about, let's say, the world, how the world operates, and one about spirituality. 5 topics. If you're a life coach, all 5 of them work for you. If you're a life coach, right? It might not work if you're a business coach, but then you can go productivity, performance, if you're a business coach, whatever, right? So 5 items, put 6 beliefs that you have under each of these 5 items. Here you have 30 videos. If you release a video a week and you create 30 videos like this, then video will repeat itself only in 30 weeks from now.
Right.
30 weeks from now, people don't remember what you released.
Yep.
Right. 30 weeks from now is as much as I think 7 or 8 months.
Right.
Right. You got 8 months of content and 2 minutes of our conversation right now. If somebody has to really execute on it.
I love
right?
this.
Right. It's that easy.
And so do you, cause I know you're a video machine and I love them the way you position them and it's like real life and the music and it's just cool and hip in your life. I love those. You guys need to check out his videos. Do you have a big team helping you, or is that just an iPhone, or what is your strategy with that?
So I've tried many experiments, to be very honest, on that front. So I have invested a little bit in a video team for sure, but I've invested in many different ways. So there are hacks that I know that you can do for if you want to do it quickly. So for example, when I initially started, we didn't have a big budget to do it. So what I would do is I would get one team to come in with something that is called a monopod. Okay. A monopod is basically a camera sitting on a pod, not a tripod, which is stable, but monopod is something that moves like this. You can move it along. You can go up, down, you can do whatever, right? It's a monopod. So you get one camera guy with one audio device and you get a monopod, right? And you just go to that, write down your 30 topics like we discussed and just go 100% like from the heart, tune in and go, this is what I think about consistency. This is what I think about creativity. This is what I think about whatever blah, right?
Yeah.
And that's one way of doing content. It takes one day. You can produce 30 videos super easy like that because you're not even trying to script it. If you have the confidence to say, go.
Yeah.
Right? And you're just being yourself. It's easy. It's fast, right? This won't cost you much. Usually, if you're in LA, a person with a monopod would probably cost you $500 to shoot it. You can try to learn anything yourself. If not, then you can edit it for another maybe $2,000 or whatever.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be that expensive. Each of these videos can be about a minute or so, right? Minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes tops, right? Short videos that go and get traction as well, right? That's stage one of stage one, easy, cost effective for anyone, very possible to do because it's an investment of $3,000, let's say.
Yeah. Cool.
If you want to go a little bit crazy on this, which is the other experiment that I do, that I did, was I got one person to just follow me for 2 months. With their camera, they would just always be there. So that's where I was trying to learn, is content better produced when I'm answering questions? Which is true, happens to be true that I'm better when somebody's asking a question, because there's so much unconscious knowledge that we have as coaches that we tend to tune into something that otherwise we won't be able to come up with as a belief. That happens only when somebody asks a question, we can tune into it and answer that, right? Coaches, teachers, experts, right? So that definitely works better for me, but then it was too intrusive for my personal life. So I was like, I can't do this. As much as, yes, I get great content, it's just not comfortable for me. So I'm back to creating content the way I used to create, which is I would hire a person, get them on a monopod. If I really feel creative and crazy, I would get two, one on a tripod, one on a monopod, and then they would just put it all together. It costs a little bit more, maybe $5,000 for a day. But if your budget allows, you got 30 videos, that's content worth a whole year. You don't have to worry about it.
I absolutely love this. So when that person followed you around, were they the ones asking you the questions? Or did
no, because I just always, I have speaking gigs all the time, or I'm going to events all the time. So there's always people asking me questions, and they're just rolling all the time. So they're just capturing everything that's happening around me. So
it's like reality entrepreneurial TV or something.
Yeah. Kind of. Cool. It's just too intrusive. So I like the output of it. I don't like the process of it. So I don't want my life to be so intrusive. So I kind of said, yeah, that's not what I want. So it's a personal choice. Yeah.
Yeah, I understand. I would be the same way. Okay. And that I love these. And then how do you repurpose and how do you generate? So now we have the content ideas, but how do you get it out there? Because as in the industry, you know, email open rates have gone down over the last couple years or so. And then, you know, with Facebook, it's almost like with the Facebook business page, it doesn't get shown that much. So how do you just go viral and how do you get it out there to the masses? And second question, how do you get people to actually opt in to continue to hear more from you? Like, do you do a CTA or what have you? Two questions. Our interview is going a little longer. Are you all right with that?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. It's still the time the audience is served. That's more important to me.
Yeah. Okay.
That they need, they get. So firstly, how, let's go one question at a time. So the first question was, how do I promote my videos? Was that the-
Yeah, how do you get it out there on, so that everyone, so it gets seen? Because sometimes I'll do a video and then my Facebook business page, it'll show that it was only shown to so many people or my opt-in rate to my
video. It'll always be like that. It'll always be like that. So what Facebook by design, so you have to understand the platform that you're working with.
Yeah.
Facebook is a business. They need to make money. So they will always, the reason why it was shown before to more people was simply because, well, at that time they want to make sure they get the traction. Now they have traction. They know you can make money out of them. So they want to make money out of you. It's only fair. It's fair play. That's how business is done. So I don't find myself, I don't limit myself just because of that. I'm like, that's how they were always supposed to be. Just now is time. Let's just say it that way. So I invest in my videos. But I don't invest blindly. It's not that I go, all right, let me just throw a couple of $100 each of the videos. It's all by design. And it's all by design of creating, like I said, a grander long-term scheme of things, right? So what I go for is there's select pieces of content that I feel is important to the community and will create resonance between me and my tribe even more. Those pieces of content would be promoted, and they will be promoted heavily sometimes, right? And what I'm doing by promoting them heavily is I am creating greater amount of trust between me and my tribe, mm-hmm. right? If I share an idea today that resonated with anybody on this call on this information, guess what is going to happen? They're going to remember me and they're going to follow up on trying to find out, even with my complicated name, they will try to find who the hell is this guy,
yep,
right? And that's what I'm really trying to do. I don't care about 100,000 fans. I care about one fan when I'm communicating, right? Will I have one raving fan every single conversation I have? And if the answer is yes, I want to have that conversation, right? So that's how my videos are are designed to go up. Now, some of these videos are so resonant to the tribe that they go share it like crazy, right? And when that happens, of course, they go really, really wild. They get hundreds and thousands of views, and that's fantastic, right? But they're only promoted for a certain period of time, because once they're promoted, now I know who's watching them and who's watching how much of them, because Facebook gives you all that insight about each of the video that you put out, especially if you use the business page to do it.
Right.
And because I know who's watching it, because I know how much they're watching it, now I can actually figure out what kind of advertising I want to show them and how I want to show them. Yeah. Right. I'm getting a little technical on you guys, but if you understand Facebook's algorithm, you will understand that Facebook actually allows you to not only show your content, but show your ads based on who saw your content and all that kind of stuff, post they have seen your content. So my entire ecosystem is designed for people to first get extremely qualified to kind of say, oh, okay, I see this person's video and I like it because they've seen certain percentage of that video. That actually means that they definitely like the video. They like the concept because they followed through and finished the video, right? Else they would have just quit, right? So I design my content for them to kind of become pre-qualified, and only the people who get pre-qualified I engage with an ad.
How do you qualify them? Sorry to interrupt you, but how do you qualify them?
By looking at how much they watch the video.
Okay.
Or any of my videos. Yeah, so there are a lot of videos where the authors that I bring on, so it's not only my videos. There are a lot of videos that are by my authors, that people that I publish, that I put up there, and then I kind of use them to pre-qualify my audience. And as my audience gets qualified or pre-qualified, then I show them my ads. And I say, all right, so now you're pre-qualified. You seem to like this piece of content. Let me show you this piece of ad, which is related to this piece of content. And that tends to give me better traction with my audience, because now the sign-up rates and everything go up. Now, the challenge of low open rates, the challenge of ads need to be paid, you got to figure out what's your math. Especially if you're coaches, it's ridiculous. You are able to really spend a lot of money if you are a coach, because each of your client is worth a lot more, right? You can spend $5,000 to get a $50,000 client. Now, I don't know what's the size of businesses that are here, but if you design your packages right, if you design your ecosystem right, if you make an initial investment, you should be able to get clients worth $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 easily. Irrespective if you're a life coach, irrespective if you're a business coach or a healer, it doesn't matter. It's more about how you position yourself and how people see you, right? If people see you as the person who can give them solution, and that will only happen if you did the work yourself first, of course, you can charge premium pricing. People think premium pricing has everything to do with you're a celebrity. No. Most of the people who are $100,000 coaches are unknown. You don't even know that they're, do you know who's Elon Musk's coach? He has three of them. You don't know them. They're getting paid $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 a year. And they are unknown people because they are coaches. They work on their craft, right? They don't have to be popular. They just have to be good, right? And I know it sounds like, dude, you're getting all meta on us and like Elon Musk is this big guy or whatever. I totally get you. It looks unachievable. And yes, those people have invested 10, 20 years in coaching people. But you don't have to be a $300,000 coach. You can be a $20,000 coach, a $10,000 coach, wherever you are in your journey. You just have to appreciate it and go, all right, here I am today. And next I'll be this, and next is this, and next is this. And keep pushing that envelope till the time you get to the place where you want to get. When I started, my first client was a $15,000 a year client, which I was calling twice a month, two or three times a month, plus doing intensives with them. Now my one-on-one clients paid me $75,000. It's the same package. It's seven times the price, or 70 times, whatever the number is. But it started with 15K. It's at 75K. And it will probably, and that's already sold out. So probably in 2018, because 2017, I already don't have spots. In 2018, it'll probably be 100K, right? And that's with the same package, which I'm very comfortable giving, because I had $100,000 clients before, but the really intensive package, I didn't like it. So I had the ability to scrap it off. But the confidence of being able to do it, you can absolutely do it. You just have to think about it, not in terms of scarcity, but abundance. Because people, most of the businesses operate from a place of scarcity, that they don't have enough clients, they don't have enough money, they don't have enough investment, they don't have enough fans, they don't have enough whatevers. And when you operate from scarcity, you always get more scarcity.
Yeah.
It's always, you become needy, you become, when you show up for your client meetings, you are like this person nobody really wants to work with. Whereas if you act from a place of abundance where you don't need no clients, you tend to have so many all the time. And that's just the, I know I'm going all meta here and all spiritual here a little bit, but at the same point in time, I mean, at least my tests show that this is what works. I've seen most of the coaches who suffer and are not really generating wealth are the ones who always think it's not enough, or they always think that, oh, I'm a life coach, I can't charge enough, or I'm a healer, I can't charge enough, or, oh, I'm new in business coaching, I charge enough. Mm-hmm. And then I meet the other ones who are also equally new, and they say, oh, somebody rejected, not my problem, I'm going to go try with somebody else. And they seem to get clients all the time.
Yep, it's true. That abundance mindset is crucial. So tell us about, because this is about, so you're doing live streams, you're doing videos, you did your event. Tell us a couple tips on when you had your event, did you partner with other people? I mean, what was your strategy for filling your event, your most recent event?
We were a little bit like we are mostly, a little bit different in the way we approach things. So our event wasn't a pitch event. It wasn't sold with a product. This is usually how everybody does their events.
Yeah.
Is they would release a product, a digital product and bonus in the event. And mm-hmm. people would come in for the event because they got the product, or they will have a price to reserve the seat for them to make sure that they actually show up for the event, which will be like $100 fully refundable, all the kind of shenanigans. Yeah. We didn't really approach it that way. We said we want to deliver an event. It should be an event which we don't really, it's not a pitch fest. It's an education event. We are an education company. That's what we want to do. That's what we want to deliver. And so what we did is we kind of designed what we really wanted. It was a whole curriculum based. It had three verticals, which is what it will happen this year as well, is the three elements of building a solid coaching business, which is you yourself, your coaching practice, or your methodology of coaching, and your business. These are the three elements of your business and of your coaching practice. And if you do them well, if you manage yourself well, if you know different ways to coach people and better ways to coach people, if you're on the edge of it, and you know how to really run your business effectively, and you know how to grow your business effectively, how to design your packages, how to make better sales pitches, etc., you will tend to have a really thriving business, right? Yeah. So we designed the curriculum, and then we presented the curriculum to our audience. At that time, we had a small audience of only maybe 20 or 30,000 people when we presented that offer to them. I know it's bigger than most of the people have as their audiences, but like I said, we play for the long term, which is why we tend to have bigger goals being fulfilled faster, because we are going for even bigger goals, and we are going for from a perspective of a long term instead of short term. So everything is a little bit better quality. So people tend to go, oh, this is better quality. This doesn't look like anything else. Let's go for it. That kind of thing. So we were fortunate to have, I think last year we engaged with about 95 or something like that, 98 people, just under 100. We promoted it through Waves, which anybody can use as strategy, which is basically you always launch the event as a pre-launch, like a really early bird, where you may not have an agenda, you may not know who are the speakers, but you know you're doing an event. This is what we just did for EverQuote Summit 2017. Where you would have a heavily discounted price, maybe something like 60, 70, even 80% discount. So usually EverQuote Summit would cost about $1,000 a ticket. And we had people at $1,000 a ticket as well. But early on when we just launched it, we said, listen, it's $1,000 a ticket, but we'll give you for $300, $400, because it's like, I don't know the agenda. You don't know who the speakers are. This is basically you trusting that I'll do a good job with whatever I'm doing. Right. So we sold about 40 or 50, and I'm talking about last year numbers right now. We sold, I think, 30 or 40 tickets as a pre-launch, which you need to have that level of trust with your audience for them to actually take that kind of action. So we sold that, I think, at $300 or $400, something like that. This was pre-launch. And then every month we would open tickets for the event for a certain period of time. So we only had certain tickets at each bracket, and we would increase the price whenever we will fulfill the bracket. At that stage, we only wanted to put about 100 people in the room. So our brackets were cutting off every 10 people, which we could sell every month. So that's how we kind of fill the event. We started with 30 tickets, 40 tickets, and then every month we will set about 10 tickets. So we kind of fill the entire event by the time the event happened. So you could kind of do the similar strategy.
I love, this is very unique. I haven't heard the strategy, but coming from you, the disruptor of the industry, it makes sense. So that's cool. How many months out did you do that? How many months?
We did about 6-7 months last year. This year we are doing a little bit different because, like I said, and this also is because we kind of oversold our pre-launch. It just happened because, you know, we didn't think that we will actually sell as much as we did. Mm-hmm. So we just opened the tickets for Evercode Summit and we sold, I think it's 90 something tickets already, or 87, 88 tickets, something like that. And again, remember, these are just tickets. These are not like, these are not bonus or anything like that. They're actually buying a ticket to the event. And we don't know who the speakers are, to be very honest. We haven't released anything on the agenda. It's just people just saying, we trust you, based on what we created a video for on the last year's event, saying we want to get a similar outcome like last year. Right. This is a shorter event. So last year it was 4 days. This year it's only 3 days. But still, we have great response from the audience. We have almost 90 tickets out. We were hoping to sell only 50. So we oversold by almost 100%. Which is why now we have to figure out how to really do the event, because we wanted to cap it out at 100. We'll probably cap it out at 150 or 140, something like that. But we'll probably not open tickets for another 3 months or 4 months. So we'll only open the tickets close to the event now, just because we don't have spots. So, and we don't want to get like 300 people in the room, because the experience gets like really diluted. We feel we can hold the audience at 150 while keeping the engagement really high. Because like we said, the intent is a great outcome for the audience, not really to sell. If they buy something, it's great. So it's not that there's nothing to buy. So I don't want to promote people saying, oh, don't sell anything at your event. Sell if you have a good product that is related to what you're doing at the event. Hell yeah, do it all day long. But don't do it in the way how traditionally it's done, which is like for 3 hours, you're just pitching, which is what usually happens at events, that they go 2-3 hours, just pitch. If you do a good job, people usually go, well, I've got a result with you, I'd like to get more. Usually that's how I've seen, and that's how I work with my clients is, if you sit down with me for 30 minutes, you know that you will have at least 2 or 3 breakthroughs. And if you have 2 or 3 really solid breakthroughs in your business, you're curious how many you can have if you did a day with me, forget about anything more. Oh, right. So
totally
intensive sold in 30 minutes flat. Usually that's how it works. So that's a good approach to use at your events too. I mean, I'm not giving a whole structure right now, but you could go value, results, not really content. People think it's content that sells, it's results that sells. You need to get a result for your client. It can't just be you giving them some mumbo jumbo. That doesn't work. They need to get a result with you, is when they all be like, I want to know more about what's happening.
Mm-hmm. So you get the results for them in the event.
Yep. While they're at the event, they could see breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough. Like, some results were astonishing last year. Like, there was a person who right after the event got a $100,000 deal as a coach, because they could finally get through that mindset. There were certain people who doubled their businesses in the coming months, people who moved away, people who were not finding passion into coaching anymore, or were confused if their coaches or consultant, they found clarity. There were people who were really, really seasoned coaches, because we tend to attract that tribe too, who were like, I've done this so much, I'm kind of done with it. And they just wanted that fire back, found their fire back. So there were tons of results, not only financially, but personally, professionally, coaching wise. So that's why probably we kind of got sold so fast. I mean, we have a private tribe that we have for people who come to the summit. There's like a Facebook group for them. And when we just posted there, because we posted there like 2 days before we posted to everybody else, we sold like 35 tickets out of that. So out of the 90 people that had come last year, 95 people that had come last year, 30% of them we already know, but the first time we posted about it. So not even everybody remembers probably that this has been posted. They're already coming back. But that's a good quality event. So you see, first year, 100 people, second year, maybe 150, just because we did a good job on the first one. So people want to go, oh, I want to go back. That's a great product being delivered.
Did you do an application? I know with Mind Valley, you do that application process to fill your...
Depends on the event that we are putting together. So it also depends on what event it is. So we do many events. One of them, let's say Evercode Summit or Extraordinary Summit, we don't do application process. It's a ticket purchase. You buy a ticket and you can show up for the event. But for an event like A-Fest, where we are a little bit more curated as a community, we're flying them to a different location, and it's not so much about speakers, it's more about the community. We want to curate every single person that shows up. In that we kind of have application process, and that event also, when it started, wasn't an application process. It was like, come whoever wants to come. The first or second event was like that, but then we realized that how strong the community has begun, so we had to do application processes, and now I think we get 3,000 applications for 300 seats.
Wow.
For each of our event. So it's 2,700 people that we reject, and it's not a cheap event. It's like $3,500 or something for a ticket, for just the ticket. And then you fly there, and it's always a 5-star, and all the ancillary activities. Yes. It ends up being $7,000-$8,000 for a person who comes there or more. Mm-hmm. And people come with families. Like, this is their thing. They come for both the events. So now that we have a situation where we have to cap how many repeats we can have. Because sometimes we look at our events, it's like 60-70% people are just repeats, people who have been to an AFS before. But that becomes really, you know, like for new people, it becomes like everybody knows everybody, they can't find friends. So we have to kind of cap that out. We have to be like, we can't be more than 40-50% repeats.
Right.
So sometimes that repeats don't get tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah, that happens.
Oh, I love it. That's cool. This has been just amazing, and I could talk to you for like, I want to go to your event, and when those tickets come out, let me know, because I could just like absorb all your information, and I'm so grateful for your generosity, and thank I know you. You have a great gift, and I want everyone to connect with you, so do you remember what your gift is, or I could tell them?
I don't remember what my gift
is. Yeah, I know. I think yours is to set it up. So Ajit has a Hustle Bootcamp, and it's an 8-hour videos, training with leading experts. Is that correct? That it's like...
Yeah. The Hustle Bootcamp is basically a bootcamp that I did some time ago. It's a recording of that bootcamp that you can go watch. It has trainings around how to be a better speaker. It has trainings around Facebook. It has trainings around there. Speakers like Marie Smith in there. Ted McGrath is in there. There are a couple of speakers who are just friends of mine. We came together and we served the audience for like 8 hours straight. So it's recordings of that. It's a ton of great, great, great material. And I think we're giving you a link that you can watch anytime. So it's something that you don't have to actually sit through 8 hours. You can consume it at your pace. So it's a fun thing to get. Yeah.
I vouch for that, because I watched it while it was live, because I met you in person right before you did that. I think the day before. And I loved it. There was a lot of valuable gems in there. And I think you guys could just spend a weekend and absorb yourself in this hashtag Hustle Bootcamp. So Ajit, thank you so much. I'm so grateful for this. I got so many juicy gems, and I want to invite everyone here who is also with us to share what were your biggest ahas and breakthroughs. It's not every day you get to sit with a person like this and, you know, sit there and learn and listen. So I want to hear what your breakthroughs are and share them in our Facebook group. And you're welcome to join us if you hang out in Facebook groups. You're welcome to join us in there as well. And yeah, thank you so much. Any last words you want to share?
Just think about your business like a business. Don't think about it like impromptu thing. It's the biggest epidemic that I see people going through, and it really doesn't help. Everybody gets, like, business people get really frustrated with their businesses because they think about it for next 3 days and not really for the next 3 years. So if you could take one thing out of this whole conversation, is remember why you started the business. It wasn't about the quick buck. It wasn't about the next 3 days. It was about something that you loved and something that you cared about. So go do that and you'll be fine.
Beautiful. All right. Thank you, everybody, for watching. I'll see you next time. Peace, love, and blessings. Namaste.
Namaste.